trust that you have come to church today with a heart that's prepared. I know what it's like to go to church every week and enjoy the Word of God and the fellowship, but it is very easy for us to fall into a trap of not coming with our hearts prepared, not coming with our hearts open and expecting God to work in our hearts. So I trust that in this moment, as we get into God's Word, that if you are not prepared and willing to do whatever God may ask you to do today, that you will get that right with God and open your heart up to whatever His message is for you today. Before we get into the passage and what God has prepared for us, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer again and ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, we need Your help desperately this morning. I need Your help because I'm entirely unable to preach Your Word as it ought to be preached. I cannot do this, Lord, and I ask that You will take full control and speak through me. Lord, I ask that You will give me the words that each one of us, including myself, what we need to hear from You today. Lord, I don't know the hearts of the people in front of me. I don't know the needs of their lives. I don't even know every need of my life right now, Lord. And I ask that Your Holy Spirit will meet the needs that we have. Lord, there is something I believe that each one of us, that You want each one of us in this room to do with Your message today. And I pray that Your conviction upon our hearts will be what we need to make a move like You desire. Lord, please take control. And I ask that all the glory will go to You, that You will glorify Yourself in this time that we spend in Your Word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into the story of Jonah, many of you are probably familiar with this story. Before we get into it, I want to tell you a little about an experience I had several years ago that reminds me very clearly of where we find Jonah here. When I'm not out preaching in maybe a revival meeting or a camp, week of camp or pulpit supply, whatever the Lord brings along, when I'm not out somewhere preaching, we live in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And I grew up in that area, and we serve in our church there, helping with the youth, and enjoy those opportunities. And the Lord is teaching us much through those opportunities. In addition to those things that we are involved in regularly, the Lord has given me the blessing of being able to work part-time on a dairy farm. So I've done some agricultural work in the past, and I'm still doing that currently. I'm excited to see how the Lord will move me on from that, though I thank Him for that blessing. I want to see how He opens up more doors to serve Him. But that's where He has me right now, some part-time work on a dairy farm. And I enjoy that. I've also been able to work for a harvesting company when I was in high school and the first year of college. I worked part-time, a summer job, and we would do about 4,000 acres in the Harrisburg area. We would bale a lot of hay and harvest wheat and corn and soybeans and those kinds of things. And that was just a fascinating experience for me. I enjoyed that big equipment, and it was amazing. John Deere, by the way. Maybe I shouldn't say that because there's probably case lovers in here or something. So I remember that job and working there, and I look back on that with fond memories. And I remember one particular day that my boss came to me and he said, before we got out into the fields, we had some repair work to do. And he said, Dan, I need you to take one of the trucks and head down the highway and go to Intercourse, Pennsylvania. And there in Intercourse, Pennsylvania is a Case supply store. And I need you to go there and pick up some parts for some of our equipment. I said, okay, I've never even heard of that town. So you're going to have to give me some instructions. I wasn't real old, and I didn't get out driving very much yet, and I didn't know the roads and the highways or even where the directions of the towns and all that. I said, please tell me where to go. And he said, all right, you go down this road, this number, turn here and that left there and take this ramp and all that. And I said, whoa, you're going to have to write this down for me. And so he started writing down step-by-step instructions, And then I said, okay, that's good. Can you draw a little map too? And so he drew a little map, and I said, all right, if this is the best I have, I'll do my best, and I guess I'll call you if I have any problems. So I got in the truck and headed out. And things were going well. I was familiar with part of the stretch of highway, but it wasn't 20 minutes before I was into unfamiliar territory. And I was trying to watch the road signs and do my best and take the exit that he told me and this and that. And I was heading down the highway, and I remember when it started to enter that unfamiliar territory. And I was okay for a little bit, but then that feeling started to swell inside me that I'm sure you've experienced before, that awful feeling of, I don't know if I'm going the right direction. I don't know if I should go a little further and then I will see the landmark he was telling me about, or if I had already passed it. And that feeling, that uneasy feeling, keeps getting worse and worse. How many of you have been there? Okay, I know you have. And yes, we've all been there. That feeling kept getting worse and worse. And I kept driving a little further, got worse more. And I was thinking, how far should I go until I pick up my dumb phone, as it was then? Now I have a smartphone and it tells me where to go. How far should I go until I flip open this thing and give my boss a call and say, I am lost. I don't know where to go. How far should I go before I have to do that? You know, in our Christian lives, there are times that we fail. There are times that we sin, live in sin. And of course, we know our Bibles, God is holy, that is not His desire for us. But when we are in that situation, when there is sin in our lives, I wonder if the question ever comes to you, like I believe it came to Jonah, I wonder how far I should go. I wonder what God thinks about me right now. And that is the question, friends, that we need to be asking ourselves this morning as we look at Jonah chapter 1 and analyze how he responded in his life. How far will you and I go before God has to do something big to get our attention? If you remember the story of Jonah, God did some big things to get his attention. And my friend, if you are not right with God today, the question is, how far will you go before God has to do something big to get your attention? You may be here this morning and you say, well, Brother Dan, as far as I know, my life is right before God, and I can't think of something. I'm not aware of something, how I am failing, and I'm just not sure. Well, how about this, friend? Do you know that God has a perfect will for your life? And He has steps for you to take along the way? Friend, is there a step that you're holding off on that God has been wanting you to take? And then the question is, how far will you go before God has to do something to get your attention? You see, friends, we should look at the story of Jonah and realize our attention should be tuned into God all the time, and we must be willing from our hearts to go wherever He asks us to go, to do whatever He asks us to do. So what will God have to do to get your attention and mine? Sometimes Chloe, my oldest there, that we just mentioned a few moments ago, Chloe is not always the little angel that she looks like, obviously. And so Chloe sometimes touches something that I don't want her to be touching, or now she's getting approaching 2 years old, the terrible twos are starting to show themselves, and we're, with the Lord's help, trying to train her to obey. And so sometimes Chloe disobeys, and I have to do something to get her attention. It may start off with, Chloe, no. Then it may get a little more stern, Chloe, Daddy said no. and then it may get a little more. Why? Because I'm trying to get her attention. And God works with his children the same way. What will God have to do in your life to get your attention? Number one, I want us to notice from the passage God's instructions to Jonah. Let's look at the verses again. It says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Number one, there's God's instructions to Jonah. So God had a specific commandment for his prophet to do in that day, and that was to get up and to go to that city full of Ninevites and to take his message to them. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." And before we get into the rest of the passage, let's pause right here and realize that God has instructions very similar that he had for Jonah for you and me in our day. God is calling for you and I to take his message to Nineveh, to the people who need it. Arise, go to Nineveh. God's instructions are for you and me as well. Let me ask you, how faithful are you to God's calling of evangelism? All of you know someone who is not saved. All of you have an opportunity as a child of God that he is putting in front of you to make an impact in the area of soul winning, to reach out to someone. God has prepared someone for you to minister to. How faithful are you being to it? Let me ask you, friend, has it been a while since you've written a letter sharing your heart with someone who needs Christ? Has it been a while since you've handed out a tract? Has it been a while since you've made a phone call? Has it been a while since you have been faithful to God's calling of evangelism for his children? You say, "Well, Brother Dan, I work a busy job and I come home and it's family duties and home responsibilities and wake up and the next day is church and I got responsibilities at church and Brother Dan, there's just not much time." Well, then let's be faithful praying for God to put those opportunities in front of us, because God wants us to be sharing the gospel. So God is calling for evangelism in our day as well. In our verse that we read earlier, Matthew 28, verse 19, and 20, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." You see, friends, God commands us there to be taking his message to the world who needs it. And then also, Mark 16, verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So we must arise, go to Nineveh, and cry against it. So God is calling for evangelism. He was when he gave his instructions to Jonah. But then also notice that God had a reason for judgment in that day. It says in verse 2, "For their wickedness is come up before me." You see, God's character demands judgment upon wickedness. Why? Because God is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." So their wickedness was coming up before the Lord, the Bible says. If you know anything about the Ninevites, ancient Assyria, you've probably heard preachers tell you from the pulpit before that those were wicked people and they did terrible atrocities to other nations. They were conquerors. The Lord used the nation of Assyria with their capital Nineveh to judge other nations who were wicked. But they were wicked themselves. And God recognized their wickedness and he said, "Their wickedness is coming up before me." In other words, it's getting to the point to where, "Jonah, I will destroy them. I will judge them. But first, I want you to take the message to them." There's a message for us. There's a reminder of God's mercy, that he always gets his truth and his message of love and mercy to those who need it before his judgment falls. I thank him for getting the message to me. But I think of the land of Nineveh, the city of Nineveh and the land of Assyria, and how their wickedness was coming up before the Lord. And friend, let's not forget about our own land today. I believe America's wickedness is coming up before the Lord. And I wonder how much time we have before God has to do something big to get our attention. I believe He's already doing some of those things. But I don't know the mind of God. But I do know, or His time frame. But I do know the principles of God's Word and something about His character, that He is holy. And God is calling for you, child of God, and me as a child of God, as a believer who's put my trust in Christ, to live a life that is holy and well-pleasing to Him. So God is calling for evangelism, and God had a reason for judgment in that day. And His instructions came to Jonah, and He said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, and cry against it." But now, number two, if you know the story, we see Jonah's rebellion. Number two, Jonah's rebellion. That is not what Jonah did. He did not arise and go to Nineveh. But look at verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah's rebellion. Jonah refused to do God's will, and instead he ran the other way. And that leads me to this thought that we get out of the passage, and that is, when we have sin in our lives, when we have rebellion in our lives, and we choose our way instead of God's way, that rebellion will always move us far from the life that pleases God. Rebellion will always move you and I far from the life that pleases God. He said, "Arise, go to Nineveh." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Now, the best we understand from geography and studying ancient cities and things, this is not some I'm an expert on, but just some things I've read on, the location of Tarshish, though it's not certain, there is good evidence that indicates that it was located on the southern tip of Spain. Okay? So if you know something about the Mediterranean Sea and the Middle East and the location of Israel today, Nineveh was located in northern Iraq, around there. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish on the southern tip of Spain. Was he going the direction that God wanted him to be? No! In fact, he chose to go far from it, the opposite direction. He was trying to get as far away from God, from where God wanted him to be. And that's what sin will do in our lives. When we don't get right with God, when we continue in the life of sin and going our way instead of God's way, dear friend, it moves us far from where God wants us to be. It moves us far from the place of His blessings. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 11, "An evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him." Truth is, we're evil men. We have a sin nature. And we are bent towards seeking rebellion in our flesh against God. But praise the Lord that He can change a life like that. And we don't have to move far from the life that pleases God. We can walk in unison with Him in a relationship that is living, vibrant, and wonderful every day with our Lord as we submit to Him. Psalm 68, verse 6 says, "But the rebellious dwell in a dry land." So rebellion will always move you far from the life that pleases God. There was several summers I had opportunity to travel for in a singing men's quartet. There was one particular summer that we had to start early that Saturday to start our summer tour. And my friends and I, the others in the quartet, we piled into the van and set off before the sun was even up. And we headed 2 hours in one direction and then realized, I woke up 2 hours later, and we were still in the same town. And I looked at my friend, and I looked up at the driver, and the person who was supposed to be navigating, and I said, "What's going on, guys? Here we are still in Shelby, 2 hours later." And we had driven 1 hour the wrong direction and had to come all the way back to start going the other way. That's like sin in our lives, folks. It'll move you far from where you should be, from the life that pleases God, from the place where God wants you to be. So we see here, number two, Jonah's rebellion. And rebellion will always move us far from the life that pleases God. But then also notice how rebellion will always cost you something. Rebellion will always cost us something. It says in verse 3, "And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof." You say, "Well, Brother Dan, of course, he was going to get a ticket. He was going to get on the ship and go to the Tarshish. He had to pay the fare." But think about that. He would not have had to pay that fare if he had been right where God wanted him to be. And it's just a simple truth from a simple phrase in God's Word, but God tells us and teaches this principle through His Word that rebellion, sin in our lives, will always cost us something. My friend, if you're living with some sin in your life that you are aware of, that God has been working on your heart over, why are you waiting to get it right? How far are you going to go before God has to do something big to get your attention over that thing? Don't you realize the Bible teaches there are wages for our sin? There are consequences for our sin? You say, "Well, Brother Dan, things have been fine. I've been getting along all right, and I've been having a whole lot of fun." It won't last. It will always cost you something. So friend, if there is something in your heart that is not right with God today, don't wait till you have to pay the fare. Get it right with God today and strive to live that life that pleases Him in His strength. That holy life. I'm afraid that many Christians today we are so consumed with serving ourselves and entertaining ourselves, and holiness is not the priority like it should be. And so we contaminate our lives with the things of the world, and we don't give a second thought that there's going to be consequences to that. It will cost us something. Friend, if you're here with sin in your life today, then don't go on like that. My question, what will it cost you? Will it cost you maybe your health? Will it cost you the lives of your children, your family, as the devil snatches them away? What will it cost you for you to continue going your way instead of God's way? So rebellion will always cost something. It says in verse 3, he had to pay the fare. And then notice also that Jonah's rebellion did not just cost him something, but it also cost those around him something also. Look in verse 5, for instance. Let's read down to there. It says, verse 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there came a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Now notice how it also cost other people something. Jonah's sin did. Verse 5, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep." So we're getting a little more of the story of what was happening there. But what happened? The mariners had to empty the ship. All because of Jonah's sin. What will it cost you? You say, "Well, Brother Dan, I've been raised to take responsibility, to be independent, and if I have this little thing in here in my life that God doesn't like, well, I'll take responsibility for that, and I'll bear the consequences." Okay, but don't forget, is going to cost other people something too. And there's many churches that have been broken up because of one person's sin. And there's many families that have been ruined because of one person's sin in that home. What will it cost to go your way instead of God's way? So we notice, number two, Jonah's rebellion and how it cost him something. For Adam, it cost him the Garden of Eden. Do you remember, for Moses, his sin cost him the promised land. For Saul, it cost him his kingdom. For David, it cost him the life of a baby. For Ananias and Sapphira, it cost them their lives. What will it cost you? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So how far will you go? How far will you go before God has to do something big to get your attention? Number one, we notice God's instructions. Number two, Jonah's rebellion. And now number three, God's correction upon Jonah's life. Here's what it started to cost him. Here's what God began to do to get his attention. Very simple, if you know the story, verse 4, we notice there that the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Skip down to verse 6, because we already read verse 5 about the mariners. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." Excuse me. If you were sleeping, you're not anymore. In verse 6, as I think about that situation, there was Jonah sleeping in this storm. And the shipmaster came to him and said, "Hey, wake up! We're all dying up here and calling on our gods. Why don't you do the same thing?" And all of a sudden, Jonah realizes, because my fellowship is broken with God. God's angry with me right now. I know why all this is happening. I know why there's a storm going on. I can't call upon my God. Don't you realize that? Trying to sleep it off. I don't know what he was doing sleeping, but I think of that shipmaster coming to him, and God will often warn us through conviction. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking about something in your life that you're not going God's way with. God's warning you through conviction. And as that shipmaster came to him, I'm sure, and he started to say, "Call upon your God," and Jonah gulped. And he thought, "I can't. I'm the reason for all this coming upon me. I'm the reason for all of this." And God will warn us through conviction, just like he was convicting Jonah. The Bible says in Psalm 90, or 38, verses 2 through 3, "For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." God's word says it is like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. And my friend, if you are here today and your heart is like a rock, God is trying to soften it. God is trying to work in your life. He's trying to convict you. He's trying to warn you through that conviction. That conviction isn't something that we necessarily like. It makes us realize that we are sinful. It makes our pride be dashed to pieces. It humbles us as that conviction presses us. But God is trying to use that to warn you so that you will turn to Him. And friend, if you're here today and there's something in your life that is not right, maybe there's sin there that you need to confess and forsake and get right with God. Maybe there's a step that God wants you to take in your walk with Him that you've been trying to hold off on. And maybe you're here today and you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ and you know that you are a sinner and you know that Jesus is the answer. God wants to offer you forgiveness for that. Maybe you're in some situation like I've just described. Why will you not respond to God's conviction right now and get your life where God wants you to be instead of moving far from the place that He wants you to be? Come to God in repentance today and get right with Him. So God will try to warn us through conviction, and He's very good at that. But then also God will warn us through circumstances, and that is what He was very clearly doing to Jonah. Because we've already mentioned verse 4, how God sent the great wind into the sea, and there was a tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. Bad situation if you're on that ship. And so there were experienced mariners on that ship, there was the shipmaster, and these guys were scared to death. And they were calling out to their gods. They knew it was all over. God was trying to warn through circumstances. Look down in verse 7 now. It says, "And they said every one to his fellow, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah." Well, what do you know? God was warning through circumstances. Verse 8, "And they said unto him, 'Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?' And he said unto them, 'I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land.'" They had all these little gods that they worshipped. When they heard that, that meant something. Yeah, I serve the one who created all of this. He made the sea and the dry land, and therefore he was demonstrating his control over it. Verse 10, "Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and they said unto him, 'Why hast thou done this?' For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them." Verse 11, "Then said they unto him, 'What shall we do unto thee, for the sea may be calm, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous.' And he said unto them, 'Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them." They rowed hard. They were trying to get out of this bad situation. God wouldn't let them out of it, and God won't let you and I out of it when He's trying to get our attention. So, continuing on in verse 14, "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord," that's what we need to do, "and said, 'We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, Lord, hast done as it pleased thee.' So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging." Think about that. Amazing. Verse 16, Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows." And now, of course, the one we are all thinking of, God was trying to get Jonah's attention. Verse 17. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." My friend, if you're not right with God today, or there's something that you are holding off on that you know God wants you to be doing, if you are going your way instead of God's way, my question is, when will God have to send the great fish? before you say, okay, God, you got my attention. God, I understand you're on to me. God, here I am. Here's everything, and I'm going to do what you want me to do. Jonah did finally go and do what God wanted him to do. In spite of probably his hatred for the Ninevites, racism in his heart, quite possibly, but Jonah eventually submitted to God. And as we continue on in the story of Jonah, as you know it, Jonah was not perfect, and there were still many things that God was trying to work over in his life. Excuse me. And as we turn to God today, and as we say, God, here it is, here I am, God, I'll get right with you, there's still things that God will want to do in your life. But my friend, will you take the first step today? Will you do whatever God is asking you to do in your life? Maybe that is some sin today that needs to be confessed and forsaken and gotten right. A child of His who's been looking at the world and being attracted by the world, stay away from that junk and come back to God today and get your heart right. The Bible always has the answers, and God wants to restore that fellowship. Maybe there's an individual here today, you've never put your trust in Christ. You realize the Bible teaches that we are all sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we are all sinners. We all have that sin problem. And God's provided a way through His Son that you don't have to die and go to hell and be out of separated from God for all of eternity. You can start a special friendship with Him today by putting your trust in Christ, that He has already paid the punishment for your sins. Do you need to be saved? Whatever the need of your life is, my friend, I ask you, will you turn to God today?